lonesome highway east of Omaha.
Everybody, and welcome to Brain Injury Radio. Just in case you thought you took a wrong turn on your way to the program, you have not. This is your regular Wednesday night host, Kim Justice. I'm really happy to be here with you tonight. My show, Recovery Now, is a gathering place for anyone seeking recovery from the challenges of life on life's terms. I introduce topics and survivors share their experience, strength, and hope. We discuss useful tools that have helped us lighten the load of our journey through recovery. More will be revealed. Tune in, stop in, and call in. This is a we program because it is in the we that we find the new me. We focus on the four A's of recovery: awareness, acceptance, action, and adaptation. This is a place for survivors striving to become thrivers. Some nights we'll have a featured guest, and others will introduce a topic of recovery, encouraging callers to join us in the discussion. In the back half of the show, I've got some outstanding independent musicians who've been kind enough to let us play music on Recovery Now, and not only do we have our regular stable of musicians, we've got a couple of new ones, we have a couple new songs by some existing ones, and I'm going to start some holiday music tonight. So, if you want to know more about me, I'm the author of In a Flash, Miracles Here and Beyond. And you can find details about me at my website on inaflash.org. That's www.inaflash.org. Also, if you happen to be listening on Facebook right now, of course, you're already at facebook.com/inaflash.org, and that'll take you to my Facebook page, where hopefully you will like that, right along with the Brain Injury Radio Network Facebook page. I'd like to thank my host for recovery tonight, Lash Publishing. You can find them at lapublishing.com. That's www.lapublishing.com, where you'll notice that they publish only brain injury-related material. Whether it's for the survivor, the professional, the veterans, or any other interested parties, you can find just about everything you could ever want to know about brain injury on the Lash site. Matter of fact, I have a couple of guests coming up from Lash, and one of them is Catherine. She's on the 18th, which would be not next Wednesday, but the weeker. Oh, Catherine, what's your name? I've got her nickname in my mind. Anyway, she's going to be wonderful. She's going to talk to us about some of the things I'm going to talk tonight, but in a more professional form, because she's actually written on it. And then on the 8th, Barbara Webster, who also has written something I'm going to be talking a little bit about tonight, is going to be a guest on the show. So really looking forward to that. couple of things I wanted to mention, a little bit of housekeeping, is that now that we've changed, Brain Injury Radio has changed just a little bit, we can put up a few more pictures than we were able to put up before. And so any of the pictures, aside from logo pictures that you see going across your screen, if you're watching on air, sometimes are my guests in their books, or if they're of me, obviously I didn't take those, someone else did, but any other picture that you see flashing across the screen from now on are photographs that I've actually taken. I do that as a hobby, and we're going to talk a little bit about some changes in the new year and some distractions that might help now. But in any case, if you're interested at all in looking at my photographs, a few more of them than I screen across the page, I do have a website called KimotoPhoto.com, and it's not like it sounds. It's KimotoPhoto. So www.kimotoPhoto.com. Check out some of my photographs. One of the photographs, I think it's streaming tonight. I can't see it, but anymore. There's some cool frosted winter trees, which you find here somewhere in Middle America from about, 2 weeks ago until, I don't even want to say March or April. That photograph happens to be taken at one of the entrances to the lake at Boystown. Some of you out there may have heard about Boystown. It is an integral part of the story that I tell about my brain injury in a flash, and I'm plugging that a little bit more right now. I don't talk about my book very much in the last year, but Christmas is coming, and I do have an audio book now that I didn't have last holiday season, as well as the paperback book, and the ebook. So we've pretty well got all those bases covered, and on my In a Flash page, you'll be able to see where my book is located. Might make a good gift of hope and hopefully some inspiration for a survivor or caregiver that you know. Although I will tell you, it's interesting, we all process at a different rate of speed, I guess. And for me, I joke, tongue in cheek, that it took me 17 years writing a book and becoming a host on Brain Injury Radio for the last 15 months to have some different perspectives and a great deal more knowledge than I had when I wrote my book. One time I heard someone on the show say that they hated people that wrote books about their experience because it was just their unique experience. You know, and I, for about a half a second, I took a moment of offense about that, but then it passed just as quickly because I realized when I wrote my book, I had never met another survivor. I had never been in a support group, and I didn't know anything. My medical professionals hadn't helped me out any and given me a, no pun intended, heads up, no pun intended, heads up about, you know, what I could expect in the future. They called my case a success because I was some last rites were read over me. I wasn't expected to live, make it through the surgery, and if I did do any of those things, I was expected to be in even rougher shape than I can be in sometimes now. And so, you know, it went from my unique story, which we all start out with, to the journey we take through recovery and the things that we learn or we don't learn that help make our recovery more complete, quicker, and more effective. And so I have to say that one of these days I'll be writing a second book because I have learned volumes since that one isolated story about Kim Justice's journey through a ruptured brain aneurysm and a series of miracles, which if I didn't believe in them before, which I did, but not as tangibly and as open to them on a day-to-day basis as I am now, I certainly do after the experience, the way the path has taken me from that point and all the things that I've learned since. I want to remind you that Brain Injury Radio, and I'm sorry, gosh, I just checked the chat room and before I type because my fingers are kind of frozen, and I'll explain that to you. We have had some really sick Zen regulars around the country. I think it's the 'tis the season of joy, merriment, depression, mixed bag of emotions, but it's also the time for the creeping crud. And whether they call it pneumonia, bronchitis, the flu, bad cold, or just the creeping crud, it seems like a lot of us have been coming down with it. I've been borderline, not near as bad as Les Paul, our Tuesday night host, and Jenny, one of our regulars. Can't live without her out there. She's just been such a help to the program since we first aired, at least since I first aired 15 months ago in our second tier. Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and all of these live shows are almost immediately archived in the on-demand section at braininjuryradio.com. And so if you come into a show late or you're feeling a little lonely, isolated, troubled, bummed, whatever that might be, 24/7, you can go back in, flip through the programs, and never have to be alone without being surrounded by other survivors and caregivers who understand. Even if you're not talking with them live, there's some comfort in being surrounded by like minds. We also have the peer-to-peer support line, and the host before me, Lori Purdy Fatel, who I am so jealous about. She calls it an RV, but I call it a Winnie, short for Winnebago. My husband and I haven't been able to go on a trip for years because we have the four dogs and the bird, and I keep saying the only way we're ever going to get out of town is if we get a Winnie and take our little clan with us. And so Lori is living my dream right now, going from the cold northeast down into many parts of Florida, on her way to Disney in a warm place right now. And I texted her back when she let me know she was off the show, and she does have a wonderful show, The Science of Happiness, on Before Mine every other week. Let's see, this would be, what week is this even? My mind's been a little scrambled, but Dr. Robert Couvant is on the first and third Wednesday of each month at 5 o'clock Pacific, and Lori, so this must be the second, and also again on the fourth Wednesday of each month at 5 o'clock. I encourage you to listen to them as well as our other earlier hosts that are wonderful. Thursday is the Empowerment Zone, which is an independent living show split through some experts along the way. The first week is Ken Collins, second week Constance Miller, and they are truly pioneers of the movement. They go back from the very beginning and are able to tell you where things have improved a little bit and where it's been a zillion years and things aren't looking much different. Week three, Les Paul, our regular Tuesday night host in this platform with the program Dream Catchers, also does the third week of Empowerment Zone. Most of you know he works in an independent living center, as does Ken. And so he does that show on the third week, and then they do a roundtable on the fourth week with all of them, or as many of them as they can pull together, as well as any guests that they might have who can speak to the topic. We're also happy with new host Tanya Witkower. She's on the first Monday of each month at 5. No, Kim, I'm sorry. Kim, Kim Chapman, I'm sorry, is on the first Monday of each month, and she is from the Necro Foundation, an aneurysm survivor, and then Tanya Witkower on the second Monday. These are all the 5 o'clock platform. We're trying to give a plug to our new hosts in the early platform. A lot of you are getting to know about them, but some of the hosts expressed to me their, you know, disappointment. They're not seeing a lot of people or a lot of numbers. And I reminded them, A, not only is it a busy time, but B, Craig had done the show for a couple of years by him, you know, on his own on Mondays. And people got used to hearing him. And it took a while, particularly for our crowd, a couple months, to realize that we were even on 7 nights a week when us first batch of hosts in this time platform came. So we felt your pain, lower platform hosts, and it does take a little bit of time. But one thing that we can do as later hosts for our earlier hosts is give them the plugs that we weren't able to give nightly. So at the very least, I know it's hard to remember everyone, but if you can find out the people who are on before your show, it would be a really nice thing at the beginning of your show to thank them for being on and remind people they're there. The third week on Mondays, the early Monday, I think we have Dr. Orr. That's our caregiver show. And we have a couple new hosts coming on in the next, between now and just after the first of the year. So I'm really excited about that. And the last thing I will say on Lash Publishing, because this is a good time of year, whether you do it for a gift or you do it for yourself or you sign someone up. Some of you might not have thought of this, but I have been telling you since Lash started sponsoring me that in April they came out with a magazine called Brain Injury Journey, and it's a phenomenal magazine with such helpful information. And I tell you that if you go to lapublishing.com and you look on the left side, one of the top entries on the list of things, pardon me, they have on their site is Brain Injury Journey. If you click on that, it will take you to the subscription page. And the first thing you'll see is the hard copy, the paper copy, where you can buy a subscription for these 6 magazines to come out to your home, which is one possibility if you want to gift it or if you do better at reading. But if you scroll down, you can't beat the price. It says sign up for free online version of the magazine. And one of the things I was thinking about the other day, I've signed up for that a long, long time ago and loved the articles, but if you know other people with brain injury or in a caregiver situation, I don't see why you couldn't sign them up. All you really need to do is click that space and put the person's email address on there, and then check whether they're a survivor or seems like we've got some really sick people in the crowd. Thanks for coming, Jenny. I'm so sorry that you're feeling poorly, and I hope you're feeling better real soon. In any case, it might be a nice gift for someone else to sign them up for Brain Injury Journey by simply typing in their email address and also I believe they ask if they're a caregiver or a survivor. And so the fall edition is out. There's a picture of that scrolling across your computer page, but I'm suspecting, at least by the feeling here in Middle America, that that winter issue better be coming out pretty soon. And when it is, I'll have the cover up for that. But you may also get back editions of any of these magazines upon request. And so I encourage you to do that. There have been some wonderful features, and their staff is wonderful. So in any case, tonight I called the show, what did I call the show? You know, there's a couple things. It's harder to find guests at this time of year because everybody's busy. And so are we, the hosts and the people here at the radio show. Certainly quite busy. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about tonight is, I think I called it Operation Overload. And I want to discuss that tonight, and I've got some resources for it. I also found out that I suffered from hypothermia last week on Thursday. I spoke to a doctor today, and, you know, while we all think we know what that is, we get too cold and some people freeze to death. That was about the extent of my knowledge on hypothermia. Pardon me. I thought because 'tis the season for a lot of the country and the rest of you can kind of blank out and make a cup of tea at that point and come back, I thought I would go through some details about hypothermia because it's not only germane to normies in cold conditions, but we are particularly susceptible in the brain injury community or spinal cord injury, anyone with a number of conditions that I'm going to read to you in a minute. And it all started today at a lunch meeting where I was telling a couple people about it. There was a doctor there, and I said, you know, it was the weirdest thing. It didn't make any sense. It was like my brain froze with my body, because when I told a couple people after, they were giving me suggestions of things I might have done to mitigate that circumstance. I spent about 45 or 50 minutes inadequately dressed in about 5 below temperature with about 30 mile an hour north wind chill. Thought I was going to die. Turns out, might not have been so far off. So people were, you know, making a couple suggestions to me after the fact. And so I said to this doctor today, I don't get it. I'm not a dummy. Is it possible, like, does your brain freeze in the midst of that where you're, you know, you can't think really clearly either? And he said, absolutely. And particularly for someone like yourself with a brain injury. And so I thought I would bring that to the show tonight as well. Les Paul and I talked a little bit on his show last night about overload, but I'm going to talk a little bit more and hopefully from a slightly different slant with a little overlap, and then thought I would bring hypothermia as a reminder. We're early enough in the season, but I did just read about a young lady who was found on her porch frozen to death in Minnesota. Friends of hers dropped her off after being out partying, in her case, and whoever lived in that household came out in the morning and found her frozen. So it's not that far-fetched. Every year we hear about it, whether it's with the elderly, the homeless, or, geez, it could have happened with someone just like me or just like you. The other part of the show, the back part of the show, I'm pretty excited. As I said in the beginning, we have our regular lineup of indie musicians who I think are great, but a couple of the regulars contributed some new songs, and I'm going to start with some holiday music tonight that I think is really cool, and in that, we are going to do a giveaway. A couple of giveaways, as a matter of fact, I think three, and I'm going to think of a way to, I don't know, maybe have you draw a number. I still haven't quite been on my game, and so we'll think of a way and we'll get this done tonight so I can get them out tomorrow. But it's called For Every Day of Christmas, and it is by an indie musician named Richard Puttiorti. Nice Jewish boy. That's an old joke from Italians. He's actually obviously an Italian boy, but we say that from time to time. Beautiful CD. I'm going to play you some things on it tonight, but there's 12 cuts. He is a pianist, an excellent pianist. So if you enjoy Christmas carols and you enjoy a free gift from your Wednesday night host at Brain Injury Radio and from Richard, then certainly we're going to deal with this in just a little bit. And when we get a couple more people on the show, and if we don't, looks like you guys have got it. We'll just have to see how hard you're going to work for it. Before I go on any further, I see that someone has their hand up, and I don't know if he put it up prematurely, accidentally, or maybe my mic hasn't been on all this time. Les Paul, is that you?
Yes. I just wanted to tell you, I had a lot of problems even getting on. I just decided to call in. I've tried signing in to Blog Talk Radio about 15 times before I gave up. And just if you see someone out there just is floating around, one of them is me. Because when I go to log into it, and this has been happening for the past several days now, it automatically knocks me to another page that's not related to the show. So, I just wanted to tell you that.
And I appreciate you telling me that, because we've been seeing that reflected and seeing we've been having some technical difficulty. And the other thing I forgot to mention, and this pertains, is that I Skype in as the host from the studio every week, and this is the third week that I haven't been able to Skype from the studio. I've had to leave the studio and instead of just pushing the easy Skype button, and you guys might be experiencing that on the show page as well, if I'm experiencing it in the studio, but it isn't a Blog Talk Radio problem. I mean, it isn't a brain injury or Blog Talk Radio problem. It is, I'm sorry, it's not a Skype problem, because I can drop down to my Skype and just dial in the numbers, and thus here I am on Skype. However, comma, if I can't get in, so we know Skype's not broken altogether, I wouldn't be here. But where it apparently is broken is for sure the last 3 weeks in the host studio. And if it's broken there, it may also be broken on the program page of
Brain Injury Radio. I truly believe that is where they upgraded Blog Talk just recently, because that's when I started having all the problems I've had, and they've only gotten worse.
Excuse me, I think I'm getting your frog. Well,
oh, no.
Les Paul, I appreciate you telling me that. And so I guess the message for the crowd out there is a couple of different things. And thank you for prompting me early in my housekeeping. The number here is 424-243-950. Excuse me, and as soon as I get rid of this frog, 424-243-950. So if you are having trouble getting in the usual way through the computer, or if you're trying to Skype from a show page and it's not working, one of your options is to call in by phone. The other is just to minimize the show page, go to your regular Skype, hit the call pad, and just dial in from there like you'd make any other long-distance phone call, and that will allow you to come in on Skype. At least it did for me. So I apologize for the technical difficulties, but Les Paul, I appreciate you calling in and informing us, because I know we've been noticing it lately. Thank you. I am very glad you're here, too. Okay. And I think I'm going to park you just a minute, and I think you're going to in fact, I'm going to leave my number right, those host numbers right here, just in case Skype decides to drop me, I can whip in quicker. But anyway, we'll start with the topic that I named my show after today, I guess, before I suffered through another cold day out here in the Midwest and decided to bring up hypothermia a little bit later. And I've told some of this story on other people's shows, so I'm not going to prolong my own experience last week, except just to give you some tips, some things that I did, and then read to you what I found on the Mayo Clinic site about hypothermia, because for those of you who haven't read up on it, because it seemed like this cold really jumped on some of us a lot faster than we thought, and you might not know any more than me. You know, it's something that has to do with getting really cold, you know, and some people die from it. And I read a lot more things that I bet you some of you don't know about hypothermia, and it does pertain to us aside from frozen brain syndrome that I talked to the doctor about today. But first of all, I'm going to read a quote, and then I'm going to go into reading you. Every now and then when I don't have a scheduled guest on the show, I like to take some time and just talk about some things that are on my mind or things that I've been hearing about lately that I think the rest of you might find of interest. And one of the comments every now and again on my Facebook, I will post a quote, and this one got some tremendous response, and so I think there's Operation Overload going on with a lot of people out there. Tis the season, right, to get thrown off of our routines for good things and bad things, but nonetheless, it's throwing us off a routine where we found our groove and where we operate at our peak performance. In as much as, you know, we've redefined our peak performance after our brain injury. And so it is something to be aware of. Times we are vulnerable because, and I'm not going to, you know, make this into a long topic either, but last week I did the back portion of, I don't know if it was my show or subbing for Frank's show, but it was called Suicide Hurts, and I did add that to the program notes. Just a little backup. Some of you are aware that a friend of mine committed suicide the day before Thanksgiving, and I found out the following week and didn't take it well. I had done a lot of work with her and done a lot of talking with her, and I prayed for something better for her. And that didn't work out, and it seems like a lot of people complain of having difficulties at this time of year, even normies as well as brain injury survivors, and this seems to be a time where we reminisce and get nostalgic, and that can cause some depression or harder feelings, and or the other side is the rushed feelings and the trip to combat. The reason I called it Operation Overload is that going to a shopping center between now and just after Christmas is a little like a war zone, combat zone. If you suffer from some sensitivities as a result of your brain injury, like maybe some vision difficulties, perhaps some hearing difficulties, issues with bright lights, and when I said hearing, not only a million voices, noise, carols, shuffling about, and all of those things going on, but also, you know, that tinnitus stuff that a lot of our survivors suffer from. Boy, yeah, that onto all those other sounds. And then the sights, not being able to focus, too many colors, too many people, too many choices, too much of a lot of things is what I credit sensory overload to. And the more we work our senses, the more fatigue we can experience, which is also one of the characteristics that many of us are left with. And so it becomes like the dominoes. sensory overload to fatigue, which can lead to cognitive difficulties, which can lead to emotion regulation issues, which can just make getting up in the morning and trying to resemble our new groove even harder. And so the quote that I put up was peace, P-E-A-C-E. You know, we're always saying peace on earth, goodwill toward men and women, if we want to be politically correct. And I wrote down, and this is an unknown author, it does not mean to be in a place where there is no noise, trouble, or hard work. It means to be in the midst of those things and still be calm in your heart. So a lot of people responded to that, and so we're going to talk about some ways to be calm in our own heart, as well as just talking about the topic I was just talking about. So I found this. I read a lot of things, and as a matter of fact, there is such a preponderance. One of the things that has blown me away over and over and over the last year has been, amazingly, that I see things noted in so many places, and yet my traditional band of doctors really don't validate or seem aware. And it used to be that I thought I was crazy for 17, 18 years and maybe the first couple months around here. Now, 15 months down the road, I realize I'm not crazy. They're uninformed, not paying attention, and not validating. And their measure is that perhaps their measure is that it isn't their job. You know, I beg to differ, and I don't want to go too far into guessing what their motives might be. But, you know, they do the stuff like a neurosurgeon saves your life. You know, they put you on the cutting block and fix the thing that is going to kill you, and they consider that a success if you're still breathing afterwards. But at least what mine didn't go into is that years down the road, I would be suffering from some ill effects from that very invasive traumatic procedure. Nobody mentioned it. Not my internist, not my neurologist, which I didn't have one because one was never recommended. And of course, I didn't have a support group or caregiver, other survivor, anybody else who could give me a clue. So I had to wait till I got here. But anyway, the VA, Gordon Johnson of TBI Law, who else? There was all kinds of people as I was looking and reading about this topic. It is everywhere. But I chose this one because I could relate to so much of it. And it's called, and this is from a website, by the way, and I'll type that in a minute, but it's called, again, for those of you that do the W's, www.changedlivesnewjourneys. And so, as a matter of fact, I think I will do that, maybe, www.changed, make sure I get this right, livesnewjourneys. And we'll hope I got this right, .com. And this is an article, so there'd be a front. I'm speaking in another language, the one that's going to own us. It's called I'm So Tired My Brain Hurts, written by Melanie Atkins back in March of this year. And it says, have you heard this or similar comments? It's real. It is termed cognitive fatigue, and the good news is that there are strategies to help minimize it. Before I get to the strategies, here are a couple of real-life descriptions to help explain what it's like. In an article in the Guardian newspaper, Tim Lusher described his experiences following an abscess on the cerebellum, the part of the brain that controls movement, balance, and coordination. He vividly describes cognitive fatigue. Ah, the tiredness. There's another thing everyone talks about. It's not a tough week at the office tiredness that you can rally through with a couple of drinks and the prospect of a weekend lie-in. It's a leaden blanket of exhaustion that sweeps over you, utterly undeniable, non-negotiable, and unshakable. And this description is in an article entitled Learn to Pace Yourself from Synops, a journal published by Brain Injury Australia. Those who haven't had their brain banged around won't understand the feeling. They'll picture how they feel after a bad night's sleep or a big work day. But this mental exhaustion is much more than that. It feels as though even the simple act of pushing a few sluggish thoughts through this damaged brain takes far too much energy, let alone attempting things requiring physical exertion. To make things worse, when I got tired, my emotions were worse than ever. My family was already struggling with my temper, depression, and poor social skills. What little control I had in these areas just flew out the window once fatigue set in. Cognitive fatigue is common after a brain injury, whether mild, moderate, or severe. The brain is working harder to keep up all its functions, even ones that were once second nature. Eventually, it is like an overload button. The brain needs a rest. Without rest, it can lead to headaches or becoming irritable, confused, and sometimes increasing problems with behavior. What can you do about it? Well, even understanding what it is gives you clues about how you could assist a person to manage it or yourself. Here are some ideas to get you started. What can you do? Below is a list of strategies you might find useful to work with. Decide what might work with the person you are supporting and their network, again, or yourself. Just choose the key strategies that might suit. Keep the change manageable for everyone involved. Number one, balance the daily routine with quiet times, rests, or restful activity. Building in whatever rest time the person needs, whether a short nap or a longer sleep time. Now, I might add to that one, for me, if I can't do one of the things they just mentioned, if I'm starting to melt down, let's use this time of the year and tie it a little into the 'tis the season again, although I understand we have these under stressful conditions all different times of the year, deaths in the family, breakups of relationships, losing our job, chronic pain conditions. There's things that can get us all year, but you have the cold and the holidays and all the hubbub and merrymaking and equally hard on us. Another one, if I can't take a nap or schedule restful activity because I just have too much on my plate to do, one of the things that I'll do from time to time, if I'm out in public, will be to go into the ladies' room. Preferably I get the sign right. I'm not so goofed up. And go in the stall and just sit and breathe. I'll do like 10 cleansing breaths while I'm saying a serenity prayer or some other calming, whether it be a chant for you, a different prayer for you, words that you've found calming in the past. Even if you're just giving it a few minutes, that's going to be better than ignoring it at all and staying on that treadmill 100 miles an hour until you just hit the wall and splat. So Again, these are suggestions I'm going to edify a little bit with my own experience lately, and then you can feel free to call in and do that too. Number two, help family and friends to understand cognitive fatigue and know that it is a result of the brain damage or challenge. It's not laziness or deliberate. Today, my husband snapped at me, which he hardly ever does. He's the most laid-back, type B personality in the world. And I asked a question, and apparently I had a tone because I had a lot to do today, and I was feeling really rushed. And I had the show coming, and I'm always a little edgy when I've got a show coming, most particularly when I don't have a guest and I'm going to be winging it and haven't thought about it for more than 5 minutes. Before the show, you know, that is stressful. And so I don't know if I had a tone or if I didn't have a tone or if it was my problem or his problem or our problem together. Because again, if you have other people in your life, whether they're people you work with, live with, date, friends, family, we have to remember we are not terminally unique. We have some challenges. But the people out there that we associate with, even clerks in the shops, you know, this is a busy time for everyone. And so there's a lot of people who aren't going to be acting at the top of their game 100% of the time. So sometimes it's real easy to be me-centered when we have so much on our shoulders, it feels like, and so much we have to accomplish. And my nana's old saying, the faster I go, the behinder I get. You know, it's very easy to get into the me, but every now and again, you know, we've got to look at the fact that this is a busy time for everyone else too. And they, you know, may not be able to be trusted to behave either. And so, you know, rather than have the situation escalate, that might be the time that we be quiet and walk away, or we maybe make a joke with the person, you know, see if they get it. If they don't, then walk away really quick. But otherwise, they might, you know, it might be a laughing matter. Yeah, this is really tough. I apologize. Well, I apologize too. And then everything's cool. So one of the things I did when I found this particular article after reading a lot of them is I thought that it explained what I couldn't articulate, but I'd been feeling for the better part of 2 decades, to my husband. You know, he's heard a couple of my shows. He's heard me make comments, but he wasn't around when this happened, and nobody wanted to talk about it after. I didn't. My folks didn't, and he wasn't even in the city, so it's not like we had friends in common until he met my friends who were no longer talking about it. And so he really didn't have any experience that I'm aware of. And so I emailed him this article, not to be a smart aleck, but to help him get a better understanding. I've never even gone to a doctor's appointment where he's come with me to become aware of these kind of things. And I think the first real awakening that he had was when I wrote my book and he read it. And that was end of 2011. It came out beginning of 2012. And some of the things that he read in there, I know he had never heard before, and certainly not with the way that I articulated it all together in sequence. And, you know, details I left out because really they weren't in my mind until the pen hit the paper and the spirit moved me to get room the whole story down. And so that's one of the things I did, and it might be something that you'd do the same thing, send one of these things to people in your life, because I will tell you that this isn't a heavy duty, too many big words, way too long kind of a thing. It's common sense that explains a lot to anyone who's interested, especially if they've been around you and observed you and noticed some things. This might explain it to them. Next, plan ahead to allow opportunity for sleep and rest. program this into the daily plan before fatigue occurs. Okay, I know a lot of us around here really stink at that. I'm just going to come out with that right now. No names for at least one person out there in radio land I know is listening. Or myself. I never pick on anybody for something I'm not guilty of myself, nor do I put recovery tools out there for people I haven't tried myself. But, you know, that is a really good thought, isn't it? But when you get busy and things keep getting put on your plate, it's really hard to not allow, and we're doing that. We're doing that. Other people aren't doing it because you know what? Someone told me once, and it took me a million years to get it, and sometimes I still don't. And that's that the word no is a complete sentence. And the reason I didn't get that is because no has never been a complete sentence for me in my mind, because people say, how come, or couldn't you just, or, oh, it'll only take a minute, or all those million things that they come back with, and then you're finding yourself explaining yourself, and then your codependence or your people-pleasing abilities make you fall like a house of cards, and all of a sudden you got the weight of the world on your shoulders. Well, no is a complete sentence, and while I'm not very good at it, it's something for us all to aspire to, because if we don't and we let that fatigue set in, there's all kinds of escalating problems that can come out of that. And so if we can at least during a stressful time, again, when we know we're vulnerable, maybe set a time to go to sleep. And I've heard how important sleep is, and I don't think this article mentions that. I'm not going to go into a 20th topic for tonight, but you know, I know sometimes we have a lot of stuff on our mind when we get in bed. One of those, our unfinished list for the day and all we've got to do tomorrow, and oh my God, there's so much going on. But if we can turn off the TV, turn off the radio, turn off anything with frequency, still able to read a whole book, don't, because you'll get hooked and want to keep going. If we can just turn off the stimulation, dim the light, take away the sound, take away the microwaves, maybe drink a cup of hot tea. If we have a fireplace, sit in front of it for a while. If we don't, sit there and think warm thoughts with maybe a cozy blanket around us. And just sip that hot tea, lean back, take some of those deep breaths again. And with each exhale, let out each one of the things individually that you can't do anything about right that second, or that couldn't wait until tomorrow or the next day, or that maybe don't even need to be done at all, or maybe need to be delegated to someone else. And don't think too hard about those things or that plan of how you're going to change your life is going to keep you up. You just calm. You find that calm that I talked about in that peace quote. That's where you find the shelter in the middle of the tornado, is within yourself. And if you have a relationship with the higher power and you're not able to do it yourself, you ask for help until you get it. And so if we can't just set a time, all right, I'm going to go to bed between now and New Year's, I'm going to go to bed at midnight every night, no matter what. And I'm not saying I'm going to be able to do that. Well, I'm not, because I'm going to be on air till midnight. But, okay, let's say 1 o'clock for me. I'm going to be in bed by 1 o'clock every night between now and Christmas. And if I'm feeling the yips, I'm going to take positive action, drinking a cup of non-caffeinated green tea or some sleepy time tea or something that I find relaxing. I'm going to cozy up, not be moving around, you know, doing a bunch of things. I'm going to sit quietly. I'm going to breathe with my exhale. I'm going to let the things keeping my mind buzzing out for then. And I'm going to try to get to bed as close to that time that I've set as possible, because I know that during this time of year I need more sleep. Because when I don't, well, all times of year I need more sleep. And tons of us have sleep issues that are ongoing throughout the year. But that's even more reason for us to pay very special attention to it right now, again, at a time that we're vulnerable and we just do our best. Not saying you can do it or I can do it, but I think it's well-intentioned, that particular item, because it's a good idea. If we can catch it before, if we can catch it before we are so fatigued that we are almost useless, that would be the way to do it. You know, is by putting some fail-safes in that will help us before we ever get to that point. Maybe that's cutting back on a few obligations or not taking on any more, again, or delegating. Work out what time of day is best for activity. We often talk about whether we're a morning, afternoon, or evening person. This is important in planning to minimize fatigue. Now, for me, the problem with that bedtime deal in the note before is that I'm a night owl. You get me in the morning, and boy, it takes me a long time to be able to function in a normal way late at night. Early in the morning. First of all, I have nerve damage in my face and in the morning when I get up. And I've got fibromyalgia and either an occipital or a trigeminal neuralgia issue. And so I'm in pain every day when I wake up, somewhere on that scale between 1 and 10, which means that my sleep probably hasn't been restful, and I've been in pain, and I'm a little disoriented, and my clock, my natural body clock, just isn't on morning time. And last Thursday, when I got the hypothermia, I was called upon to get up early in the morning, and it screwed me up because I was trying to move fast and do some of the things I can do at my peak performance times. And I made some very bad mistakes with some poor judgment that, God, I could have gotten killed or died of hypothermia or, you know, just made some very poor judgments. And again, you know, when we do that, it's one thing you've got the task and you make a poor judgment. But if you've got the task and you make a poor judgment, chances are you've just created another half a dozen tasks to deal with because you weren't cool as a cucumber when you made them in the first place. So cut your losses. Cut your losses. And figure out what time of day. Oh, my God. It's saying that my show has got 90 seconds. Geez, and I'm not sure whether I'll be able to get into the studio, but I'm going to try really quick and put in a song for you. I'm not sure why that happened. But what I am going to do, everybody, this is Brain Injury Radio, Kim Justice. If you'll hang on for just a moment. I am going to try to hurry. This will go into overtime, and I'm going to play you a song, I apologize, called Soft Place to Land, and I'll be back in a minute. Thank you. Kathleen Edwards, Soft Place to Land. And I think that that's something that we can all use. And I did apparently make a mistake and didn't change the default of 1 hour. And I know that our overtime hasn't been going a whole hour, so I don't really know what to expect. The clock in here says 23 minutes. So I am trying to text Craig to see if there's a way, because I just tried to figure it out and the choice isn't there anymore. I'm already in the archived shows, and changing the time wasn't one of the choices. So what I am going to do is go on and stop texting and finish up what I was doing, and we may have to stay warm enough to deal with hypothermia next week. Okay, best time of day for us. Allow extra time to complete work that requires extra concentration and effort. Now, we all have a schedule that we're planning on getting things done in, or a lot of us do. Should take me about a half hour to do that. And so, you know, we try it, but in a time where we're under the gun, under more stress, extremely fatigued, it just makes common sense it's going to take us something longer, you know, some amount of time that's longer to complete our task. And that's not something we think of, because we think of, well, okay, I'm able to pump my gas in 4 minutes. And that's just the way it's always been. So when you pull up in front of the tank to pump your gas and it's going to take 4 minutes, and then all of a sudden you get the cap off and you stick it somewhere and you don't know where, and that particular pump doesn't work, or you squeeze it and it clicks, and you squeeze it and it clicks, and you squeeze it and it clicks. You guys know what I mean. God, I hate that. And we're tired and frustrated. It's going to take us longer to do the same tasks that we're able to do in another more scheduled period of time. So again, we want to do that. Allow the extra time to complete work that requires extra concentration and effort, because chances are we're fatigued and we'll need it if we want to bring our best. Plan ahead for demanding activities or when going to special events. Allow for extra time, extra rest time and or quieter routines before and after. Again, holiday parties going on out there, support group parties, you know, family gatherings, all of those kind of things, demanding activities, even going shopping, whether it's in the grocery store or in the mall, not quite as stressful as it is around the holidays when people are on the mad fly in between their busy lives to get everything done. And so just know that you need to take that rest time I was talking about earlier. If not a formal nap or going to bed at the right time, cut away several times a day. Even if it's just for 5 minutes and you're going into the men's room, the broom closet, your car, a quiet place, and just closing your eyes, breathing, and exhaling the excess. Very helpful. Use aids, equipment and technology to reduce effort wherever possible. For instance, if the person has mobility aids, encourage their use to minimize fatigue. And that is a very good one. Les Paul talks a lot about aids for people that have challenges, and I encourage you to take a look at those. Les has even done some wonderful shows about kind of aids. And by all means, if you're a person who uses your walker or your cane part of the time, but not most of the time, this is the time to make a concentrated effort to do it, because as you get mentally fatigued, you get physically fatigued, you make more poor judgments, you're more apt to get that vertigo, that dizziness, and perhaps fall down. Protect yourself physically as well as mentally, because it all gets fatigued. If helpful, see about shorter days for school or work with frequent breaks according to need. That's where we're copying to who we are and some of the challenges that we have to meet. And as false pride and denial got in my way in the beginning, I had to come to a point, and since I've joined Brain Injury Radio and known that there's others and that I'm not terminally unique and or there's not something horribly wrong with me that I can't do what the whole rest of the world is doing, then I do ask for some help. And believe it or not, it's helpful. Encourage saying no. Hey, there's that complete sentence. Encourage saying no to activities or demands that are not important or that would overly fatigue you. So it doesn't mean, you know, there's a million important things out there, and a lot of us want to fix them all, encourage them all, but we just can't. We just can't, because we're going to do it half-A all the way around, and then everybody's going to be angry. We're going to be disappointed in ourselves. Other people are going to get angry and disappointed. It's a lot easier to just say up front, it isn't that this isn't important. If it is one of those things, it's not important. Just so fatigued, I'm afraid that I would be doing you no favors and mess things up for both you and I. Maybe refer them to another person or resource that could help them, or every now and then we've all had to figure out something ourselves. If there are a number of activities or things to do on a day, work out priorities and tackle the important or interesting tasks first. That means budget our time. We had a host here at one time, a para-host, Penny and Kathy, and they talked about brain bucks. And that stuck with me a long time. We all have a certain amount of brain bucks to spend, just like we got bucks in our wallet. If you overspend it, you're SOL. If you underspend it, you have a little reserve. Don't spend all your brain bucks. If there's too many activities, prioritize a couple that must be done today. Anything else that can wait, even if it tick someone off or it wasn't the schedule that you planned, if it's something that can be rescheduled because there's a priority that's much more pressing, do it. Know's a complete sentence. As much as possible, have familiar routines and surroundings which reduce the effort and need to concentrate. I spent a lot of time home over this last weekend because it was just too much, and it's a familiar surrounding for me. I've got a little fountain in my living room. In fact, I have all of the elements in my living room. I have a rock collection I've had since I was a kid with crystals and almost every kind of rock you can find, so I have the earth, fire. We have the fireplace. We have the water from the fountain, and we have air, sometimes fresh air, sometimes ceiling fan, but we have air. So all of those elements together, the familiarity of my home and my dog's safety, out of the fray, as it were, those are things that make me feel more comfortable, and I don't have to concentrate near as hard, so it gives me a break. Take notice of what factors contribute to fatigue and work out how to manage these as much as possible. This might include the effect of medication, weather, illness, people, or places. Boy, ain't that the truth. I'm going to do that again. Take notice of what factors contribute to fatigue and work out how to manage these as much as possible. These include the effects of medication, weather, illness, people, or places. I think that's self-explanatory. Be aware that sensory overload can impact on fatigue. Situations such as busy shopping center with lights and noise, limit or avoid these situations. Again, that's the Operation Overload, why I named it, because of this time of the season. Talking about these shopping places can become a combat zone for a lot of us who have a brain injury with some sensitivities that drive us to that fatigue. Be careful. That's what the internet's for. Maintain optimal health and fitness. Take care with exercise that it does not itself cause fatigue. So again, first of all, keeping up health and fitness, that's one of the first things to go sometimes for some people during a busy or stressful time. They try to handle everything else, and that's one of the first things to go. I know it is with me sometimes. And then what I try to do is overcompensate because I haven't been doing exercise light or just moving around a little bit. I will overdo, and then I'm in pain, really fatigued and kind of unfunctional for a couple days. So find your balance. If you've let it go for a while, that exercise, healthy eating, that kind of thing, you kind of fallen off the beam, don't go 180. Build yourself back up slowly would be my best advice on that. Maintain optimal health and we just did that. Develop ways to manage fatigue if and when it occurs. Think about at home and when out. Think about it at home and when out. So just think about the places that you are. I know we're all going to find ones we don't expect ourselves, but the places you know you're going to be over the next few weeks. Think about them, whether they're at home or out. Think about what kind of things are going to draw fatigue out of you from those situations and think of good ways to mitigate them. Hopefully you have some of your own. You might look up some and hopefully you've heard some tonight. You as a supporter, either of yourself or someone else, can minimize fatigue by assisting where necessary and when appropriate. Carrying out tasks, understanding what needs need to be done, assisting to maintain agreed rest routines. Obviously, that's directed at the caregivers, but when you think about it, we are also caregivers to ourselves. When looking at ways to manage fatigue, remember it is better for a person to try and manage cognitive fatigue before rather than after it happens. Plan to prevent rather than manage after fatigue occurs. Finally, remember to always work with the person and their support team when developing any strategies. Each person will have different needs and different responses. This may change over time. Consistency is the key. So if you're not doing that with your doctor or your support group, find a good friend of like mind, bring it to Brain Injury Radio, discuss it, and see if we can't find those answers. Again, that was called I'm So Tired, My Brain Hurts, from a website called ChangedLivesNewJourneys.com. The article by Melanie Atkins. Now, I'm going to promise, only because I screwed up, you guys. I'm so sorry. And it's part of this, everything I just read and the hypothermia in the same week. But what I'm going to do is look and see if I got any kind of a response. from Craig to see if he was able to keep my show going a little longer. I can't even tell. In fact, if any of you guys can tell from the show page if it looks like it's over or if we are just floating in time, in overtime, then hard telling. Usually overtime lasts an hour, so we would wind up with a two-hour show, but I hear it's been leaving earlier and earlier. So I at least want to do the things we had on the agenda. That was one of them. I'm going to give you a chance to talk in a minute. But I do want to play one song, Kick Off Christmas, with this man whose CD I was hoping to give out. I might manage to do that tonight to the couple of you who are here and hold on to a couple of them for next week's show. We still have a little bit of time left in the holidays, or maybe I'll think of something to do on one of the pages. But this is Richard Pootorti, and I'm going to tell you how to spell that. Richard, self-explanatory, if you want to Google this. P as in Paul, U-T-O-R-T-I. Again, P-U-T-O-R-T-I. And this is What Child Is This? 4 minutes and 15 seconds, and I hope we'll be back. If for some reason we're not, my apologies again. This is Kim Justice, your regular Wednesday night host on Brain Injury Radio Recovery Now. We'll be back, I hope, 4 minutes, 14 seconds. That was Richard J. Pootorti. And I typed his name in the chat, but for those of you who aren't in the chat, P as in Paul, U-T-O-R-T-I, Richard J. Pootorti. This CD is his holiday CD, All Piano for Every Day of Christmas. Got 12 cuts on there, all of your usual happy holiday music. Now, until I hear back, and I may just be out of luck, I don't see another hand up, but if we have one, we'll get one. Les Paul, you're back on the air. I made a mistake, apparently, tonight and hit 60 seconds, and you know what? I even got in the studio with 10 seconds left, and the time and date disappeared, and I'm already showing up in the archive. Now,
oh boy.
Craig wrote me and told me that he could do it, but I don't think he realizes the show page changed when they reconfigured Blog Talk Radio, like what you were talking about.
Yeah.
We used to, as long as we were on air, be able to do it, but that option isn't looking like it's there. So tonight will probably be an hour of my topic, and a little bit we'll wind up having a 2-hour show, so we'll just make a stream of those this week, right? But what about you,
well,
and Overload? Did you get anything out of
me? You must know me better than even I know myself, because you were talking about me most of the time. When I was ending my show last night, you know, I was very tired. And I was saying, wow, I really feel it hitting me strong and stronger. And as soon after I got off, I fell asleep without even knowing what happened. I mean, I don't remember changing clothes, anything, and I just woke up and said, "Oh my goodness, I don't know how to get into bed." It's like I floated into the bed because I don't remember getting in bed. And I was tired today at work. I was able to work, but it was harder. It fit in perfect with your topic, because I don't know if it's the seasonal affective disorder that you and several other people have talked about over time, or if it's a culmination of doing many different things. You're very busy helping train a lot of people. I pulled a double show last night, and I felt it before I even did my own show start to get me. And I think it's kind of like death by a thousand cuts, you know. I'm not meaning morbid.
Yeah.
It's just like that little cut here, that little cut there. Yeah, I'll be all right. It's just a little scratch. And it's like the fountain is leaking, and you say, okay, well, darn, I'm really draining a lot of water out of here. Woo! And suddenly, it's kind of like your computer when the hard drive is saying that it's using 70% of the hard drive just to run without even being on the Internet. And you've only got 30%, which will cause it to crash when you go online, because it'll jump to 100% and freeze up.
Time to reboot.
Our hard drives have a limitation. Our memory, our database, our memory can become almost full and then overflow, and that's what happened to me. I really noticed it after you said it. Even my boss talked to me about it. She said, "Les, you're doing so much. You've got to slow down." And she saw that I was excited to help Coy and Cheryl yesterday. I'm glad I did, because they did their first show and they did very good at it. I helped them.
Good.
Keep it going and everything, but they've got a lot to learn, and it took me a very long time, so I wanted to share it with them. And I didn't realize I had pushed myself to my limit, though I felt it. And so many people saw it coming other than me. You ever felt that way? Like I'm the last person to look?
Yeah, my favorite answer is I'll slow down as soon as I have time. I just have to finish these 1,000 things on my list, and then that'll jump right into the first priority, but I don't give an inch.
And one
and
big
that's
thing
why
is,
I brought
exactly.
up the no is a complete sentence. It's hard, but we got to learn it.
Well, a lot of my friends were saying, including you and some of the hosts on here, saying, "Les, you probably got sick because you pushed yourself too hard." And it's hard to learn that lesson, because what I do, I exhausted myself right after it, because I wasn't 100%, I'm still not 100% back, even though my voice is much better. I still feel fatigued after that. And so I'm the pot calling the kettle black, because I'm guilty again of not paying attention to my body saying less, rest. Kim, yours is saying rest. It made me think of a song, believe it or not. You know, I'm always thinking of a song. One by Neil Young called Rust Never Sleeps, but I was singing Rest Never Sleeps. The song that goes, my, my, hey, hey, my, my, rock and roll will never die. Do you know that song by Neil Young?
I do.
I love that old song. It's got a real raspy rock and roll guitar in it. Like that. But we have to keep from letting ourselves rust. And,
right,
man, we've been smoking the tires here at Brain Injury Radio for a long time. And I love it. Boy, it's like, vroom, vroom. But you look back and you've left rubber on the road.
Well, yeah, and I think there's, yeah, something to be said. Sorry for that, you know, just,
okay.
You know, you get, I think I get an adrenaline rush. But then at the end of the adrenaline rush, or when I'm starting to wind down like you were yesterday with the half does, that adrenaline rush hits the wall.
Yeah.
There's like nowhere between adrenaline rush, downshifting, and going in cruise control. It's more like hitting the wall.
My motor
adrenaline rush.
Backfire.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And suddenly coast into a stop and say, what I do here? I was just doing what I need to do. Somebody else needs, no, you know, nobody else can do it. Somebody else can't do it. I've got to do it. Don't stop me. I've got to do it. That kind of thing. And forgetting that the world will continue. You said it to me last night. The world will continue if something happens to us, even if we were to pass on. I hope it would slow down just a little bit for just a second, but it probably wouldn't. The world would just keep on going. I'm just thankful for everybody, especially what you're doing tonight, because you didn't feel like it, did you?
No, but I didn't know I was going to get cut off. But it's interesting because I'll just wind up with two topics, but it's funny because they're so related. Some of the symptoms of hypothermia. If I wouldn't have run into this doctor today, but I was describing something, and he said, well, you had a pretty good case of hypothermia. You should have been in the hospital having your insides warmed from the inside out, because I was talking about, you know, does the, first of all, about the brain freeze, you know, can that happen? Because all of the more logical actions than I took, like calling someone closer and all of that, just didn't come to me. It was like this survival mode where I just wanted to ball up, and it was just brutal, you know, and I wasn't thinking clearly. So he said, brain freeze, yes. You know, people don't think clearly when they're in that situation. And then things like confusion, bad decisions. There's a whole list that, you know, I'll read when I do that topic next week probably, that are so similar to what a lot of us have anyway, that the amplification goes up on during times like these, and why I did Operation Overload tonight. And then because of the time of the season for a lot of our audience, you don't want to compound that, you know, overdoing with not listening to your body and listening to your friends, but then doing what I did last Thursday, which was I was in such a hurry. You know, I ran out of the house inadequately dressed, thinking I was going from a hot car, from my hot house into a hot car that had been running the person that was picking me up, and then going right into a building and right back into my house. And instead it was, 45, 50 minutes at 5 below with north wind going about 30 miles an hour, making it even worse than below. Yeah. And
you forgot
it hurt
first. I'm playing with you.
I did. And it was because I was in a hurry, but that's what happens when we're on overload. We forget, first of all, we forget stuff on a good day.
So, and we always think our car's always going to run perfect and the weather's going to be just right for us. And we've got everything prepared for emergency. And sometimes we might not even have a flashlight in the car. You know, you never know what's going to happen.
Or the car,
Wouldn't
it be good to have a hat, blanket, and gloves in my car? My car was locked in my garage.
Yeah, get in the car and then all of a sudden it stops in the middle of nowhere when you stop at a gas station or something. We take a lot of things for granted that we don't expect things like that to happen. I'll use a kind of a sad example. I'm not going to go into it much, but, you know, I've talked about my brother Phil when he passed away. Well, what happened to him is he was having a lot of fun. Him and his son and some people that knew him real well, he was out ice skating. And he'd been doing it a lot. He'd been doing all kinds of different things. And he was out there, and I didn't know he had gone. I'd talked to him hours earlier, and he was at the top of his game, sounded like the picture of health. I mean, he was cutting up, laughing, and told me and my mom he loved us, and I'll see you tomorrow. And so he went out, and everybody, he was cutting up. He was a good ice skater. He really could do stunts, and then when he was a roller skater, I've got pictures where there are just a blur where he's doing spins real fast and things. And they said all of a sudden he grabbed his chest and collapsed on the floor. He didn't know that was going to happen, that he was going to have a massive heart attack. And they tried to rush him out of there as fast as they could, but he died on the way to the hospital. A guy, 49 years old. Look, the picture of health, head full of hair, 6'1", wasn't fat. I mean, he looked extremely healthy. We take our lives for granted. I mean, I never knew I was going to have that aneurysm. You didn't know you were going to have yours. Isn't it amazing how we go through life, and like when you had the hypothermia hit you, you weren't expecting that, were you? You there, Kim?
Oh, sorry, I muted to get tea. No, I absolutely didn't have any idea whatsoever until I talked to a doctor today and was describing and just asking a couple questions, and he answered me. But, hey, just in case, we have Allie on the line, and just in case the show gets cut off because I haven't heard back from Craig, I want to let Allie on to be able to make some comments about what may be an abbreviated show tonight. How about you, Allie? You get any operation overload going on?
Oh, my gosh. I was thinking you were reading pages right out of my journal. I mean, if I were to step outside of myself and give myself supreme advice based on my challenges. And so often I think we don't pause enough to even reflect on what would we prescribe ourselves under the circumstances. At least for me, oftentimes I'm in such a go, go, go mood. I'm always to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, and I feel so driven, much of which has everything to do with the fact that I feel so behind that I'm very dogmatic in how I approach things at times. I'm very productive, but I'm still very unsatisfied with all that I do accomplish, even though compared to most of my peers, no matter where I go, it's dizzying just how much stuff I get accomplished. But I don't feel that sense of, wow, you know, that's awesome, Allie, you've done great. Because for me, because of perhaps the frontal lobe injuries, I don't have a good perception of a historical account of how far I've come. You know what I mean? So it's hard for me to really take stock of, well, look how far I've come. I just know that what's before me is yet another layer of challenge to ascend to, you know, and tackle and get behind me, and I'm on to the next thing. And it causes a sense of, from other people looking from the outside in, of me being a bit hard on myself. But I don't know. I don't feel that I am. I just feel that I'm very driven. And I'm very excellent focused. And, I appreciate the reminders. Before I forget, though, I meant to congratulate you on yesterday for the accolade and the award that you were that was conferred upon you. That's incredible by the
amazing
VAR. Yeah, so congratulations. I meant to say something yesterday, and it completely slipped my mind. I didn't make a note of it. And yeah, that's an awesome acknowledgement, Kim.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Just a real quick light for those who weren't on last show's or show or isn't not on Facebook. I was really blessed and surprised yesterday. I'm Daughters of the American Revolution is a civic organization where you can trace a descendant from you all the way back to someone who fought in the Revolutionary War, and it's real hard to do. And and I am a member of theirs, and they called me up. We have a once-a-month meeting. They called my name yesterday and asked me if I would come up there for a moment, and there have been people catching, this is a big part of it, the radio shows. Normally you just get a public service award, like an Omaha one, a local one, but I was given an outstanding community service award from National DAR in your neck of the woods. As a matter of fact, they're at Constitution Hall. They're there in Washington, D.C. And
That's amazing.
I'd love to go there, and you're close to there. But, yeah, it was because I've done so many shows. DAR is very helpful with veterans. Yeah. We do a lot of veteran-related causes, and I've done a lot of shows in the last over a year with wounded warriors and veterans, and because my reach on Brain Injury Radio is a lot further than my city, as well as some other things that I've done that they factored into that. They decided to surprise me with a new pin for my credentialing, and also a very nice certificate from National. So that was a really awesome, unexpected surprise, and I'm glad to know we're helping. You guys' feedback is wonderful, but it was also good because I got to plug, you know, TBI. A lot of these ladies are either married to veterans, or by now they were married to veterans and now they've got kids in the war. A lot of veteran activity amongst the women in this group and support of the veterans. And it was just a really cool surprise and award, and I don't take credit for that so much as getting the opportunity on Brain Injury Radio and the people that have been put in my path who have a message, and I get to be a conduit to help them let it out. So it's really all of our award, but thank you.
Welcome. It's very deserving. And, I'm going to take to heart a number of the tips that you mentioned. I tried to write as many down as I could. And I also made note of the source of the information. Did you say, I'm so tired, my brain hurts? I used to say that all the time. As a matter of, not used to, but I say that quite often. And I totally can identify with that very phrase. And the website, again, is changelifenewjourneys.com by Melanie Adkins. Can you repeat that information?
I can. And if you do have any trouble, you know that you can send me an email. But for, yes, the audience, www.changedlivesnewjourneys. So changedlivesnewjourneys.com. And then there's a front slash, and it goes I'm-so-tired-my-brain-hurts. Or if you want to try to search her name is Melanie, MELANIE Atkins, ATKINS, and it was an article from March 3rd of 2013. So they might have a search for her name that would take you to that. But certainly, Allie, if you have any problem, contact me on that. And anybody else, if you're interested in reading that article and you didn't get it because we didn't have the use of the chat tonight because of the between my problems and blog and brain injury / Blog Talk Radio's problems right now, we're all having some problems. So you can write me at my inaflash.org, www.inaflash.org. There's a contact the author tab, and I'm always happy to provide you with the link or the PDFs for any material that I use on my show.
Thank you for that information. Yeah. Operation Overload. Yeah, I wanted to also share in this safe space that I may have officially transitioned out of my relationship today with my friend, and he's under a lot of pressure, and there's a lot going on with him, and he has been dealing with some health challenges as of late, and I've been supporting him around that, and I've spoken once before, if not a few times on the air, about feeling very conflicted with regard to fulfilling my vision of how I see myself aligned with integrity, because I'm very integrity-focused, but in my relationship, I have not been as a result of feeling, and for those of you out there who can understand about that whole dynamic of codependency, not from a toxic standpoint like I'm covering someone's addiction and they're covering mine, and when they check out, I'm standing in for them so that people don't notice. It's not that type of codependency, but when one is not self-sufficient financially, we kind of look to have others to supplement our income, and I know that's what I've been doing, and I've gotten really comfortable in having him supplement my income, and he's been very generous, and he was going to get my new phone for me as a holiday gift, which I really appreciate. But because of the weather, even though he's on vacation this week, for all number of reasons, we never connected. And he's never lashed out at me with harsh words. He's always been the consummate gentleman and a real sweetie pie and all of that. But he said, you know, Allie, you have no concept of money, because he reneged on the amount that he was going to support me in. And he's thinking, who in the heck pays $700-some-odd for a cell phone? That's ridiculous. I wouldn't buy my father a cell phone for that amount of money. And I'm thinking, people pay it all the time. They're selling out and all over the country like hotcakes. I mean, people are into technology, and I didn't want to go with the contract plan, and I decided to buy an unlocked phone and shop around for the cell phone plan, because I have been paying like $160 a month. At least my mom had been, and I can't afford that. And so my actions as of late have been really strongly focused on creating self-sufficiency and structuring my life in such a way that my bills are lowered for things like that, where certainly I can trim the fat and still not experience such hardship when I do cut back. And so, long story short, he quippishly remarked, out of frustration, you don't have any value, you don't have any sense of money since you don't earn any. I thought, no, that was low. It didn't really pierce my spirit, you know, but he's never said anything like that to me ever. And it's kind of partially true, perhaps, you know, and even though he has a really good income and all of that, and he could clearly afford it, he has a number of expenses coming up right now, and he actually, because of some health challenges, is on dialysis, and that's kind of serious, you know, and he's managing that, and what have you. And what I told him, and this was right before he hung up the phone, which he's never done, and we've been together for 2 years, he said, when he said that, I said, well, you know what? I don't know who in the H-E-L-L would even pay for someone to recycle their blood either, but you do it every day. And I can promise you this, if you were to look at the balance sheet of, you know, the medical expenses and all of that kind of thing, your portion and your health insurance's portion, and if there's a supplemental insurance, the 80-20 type thing, I can promise you, you're dropping more than that each time you go. So what the heck are you talking about? And it was a click.
Oh,
I'm using the phone as a prosthetic frontal lobe. And I said, just like you go to dialysis because it's a durable medical equipment that's functioning as a prosthetic device since your kidneys are not functioning in the way they normally would, I'm needing technology to supplement and function for me as a prosthetic brain because I'm having challenges with my cognition. And so I'm definitely seeing this piece of equipment as a frontal lobe prosthetic device, basically, or a prosthetic frontal lobe. And so it's really interesting, this whole hidden disability thing and how people don't really lash out at someone who may advocate for themselves in getting a wheelchair or a hearing aid, you know, that kind of thing. They're expensive. They're expensive.
Yeah, yeah. They certainly are.
You know,
are.
When it comes to something like this, when it's not as well understood or because it's a brain-based challenge, wow, she's kind of inadequate or he's kind of inadequate. And in the society, a lot of people do size you up based on your ability to contribute financially, what's your earning potential. I've not always worked, you know, and so I'm very capable, I'm very sharp, I'm very smart, but he knows that I'm not working in a capacity where I'm earning an income because I'm on disability. And I didn't take it to heart because in my spirit, I'm like, you're not talking to me. I don't know who you're talking to. You're not talking to me because I don't identify myself as such. But it's still noteworthy in that he felt strongly enough to say that to me when he's never been cross with me. I mean, if he has, it's not been anything to that degree. We don't normally butt heads. He's very congenial and all of that and really super sweet and super accommodating and very supportive and understanding, and it's whatever you need, babe, whatever you need, what do you need, you know. And he's always said, babe, you don't even have to go to work, I'll support you, I'll take care of you. And I don't want that. I want my own, even though he has a really good income, you know. But I don't know. So I just wanted to put that out there. And I'm not sure what my intention was in doing so, maybe just to kind of offload a bit. But I think each of us who've had our own struggles with any aspect of living with a hidden disability, whether on paper we're considered disabled or not, we can identify with some aspect of someone or some aspect of society judging us based on our challenges, our brain-based challenges, and almost, making that equate to perhaps our worth or our value when we're not what I, you know, we're not what we do. I'm not what I do. I'm not my job. I'm not my job if I don't have one either. I don't identify myself that way, and so I don't know. I think it's really unfortunate. But, I mean, I'm fine, but I do feel a little deflated. But do you understand what I'm saying? When it's almost like someone calling Kim, it's almost like someone calling you Tracy. Tracy, Tracy, that's not your name. So you don't respond to it.
Mm.
You know, and my sense of self is so strong.
Are you there? Hello?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, and Allie just suddenly went off. I lost her at the same time.
I did it accidentally.
and you, Les, for just a moment. I'm really sorry to do this to you guys, especially because I would like to talk about your topic more, Allie, but I misread Craig's note. He was saying I could extend the show, and I could not because the time was gone. So the show is going to be ending here in just a minute, just a few minutes. And so I did just want to say, Allie, I completely understand, and I hope you'll come back tomorrow or on the next show and we can talk about that more. I felt stung when my husband snapped at me earlier too, but all I guess I can say for the moment, and not in his defense, but just in a helpful understanding, is kind of what I was saying earlier and what I read, and that's that this is a hectic time for all of us. He's probably under the gun even more because of his health issues. I know we all are that have some health challenges to go with this busy time of year. That makes it even harder for us. And again, that fatigue will cause us to act out in ways that we might not normally act out. And like you said, there may be some truth just in the spending, not the label, not the label whatsoever, but in our perception of money when we've moved from the old me to the new me. I do understand what you're saying, but at the end of the day, nobody really owes us anything at all. You know, I was thinking of buying a track phone for that music friend of mine, but he really needs some help. We're not involved, different situation than yours, but, I don't have $3,000 to buy him a phone, maybe $40 a month to give him unlimited minutes so that he's not going to get stranded someplace. But, again, stressful time of year, everybody under the gun, our tendency to take things personally, and it doesn't make it sting any worse. You're entitled to your feelings about it all the way around, but also remembering that dialysis is probably not a stroll in the park either, and maybe with co-pays and out-of-pockets and the new Obamacare, he's getting hit with a little more expense than he thought he was going to be, and used a very poor way to have a logical discussion about the practicality of finances in the type of arrangement that you have right now. And Les Paul, I appreciate your comments about overload. I know it's a great topic because we are all suffering it right now, and I apologize. My over-fatigue and my flagrant defying of a lot of the things I read tonight is what helped cause me to get my showtime wrong tonight. And so, in any case, this is Brain Injury Radio Network. This is Kim Justice of the show Recovery Now, your regular Wednesday night host. I hope you'll come back again. Again, I'd like to caution you. Peer-to-peer support is a vital tool of recovery among many that I yell to the rafters. And so if you come to a show and you don't like one, I encourage you to visit 3 to 5 shows before you make a final judgment, because it can make a huge difference in your recovery and your quality of life. I want to thank you all for being here tonight. We'll maybe talk about hypothermia next week, and then we've got some good guests the next couple of nights. Because of what you went through and me cutting you off, get a hold of me. And because you've been one of our most enthusiastic newcomers, if you are interested in the holiday CD, send me an email tomorrow with your address, and I'll get that out to you, Allie. And the rest, if you're hearing me out there and you want to write me, we'll see what we can do. Otherwise, we'll pick that up next week. Again, thank you all for being here, and I'm going to close the show in the usual way. And if you're suffering from operation overload out there or any number of things that come with 'tis the season, just remember this. It's something that we all have. Going to close the show in the usual way. Be sure to check out Leah West, LEAHWEST.com, to hear this song and all of her many other great ones. She's a doll. But this is something that we all have with us all the time, and that is a guardian angel. Good night, everybody.